What's your story?
My name is Stephanie Bowman. One day, I was a manager at a bank, and within 48 hours later, I was homeless, putting my children in a dumpster for food.
What's your story? With Jay Edwards. Amazing people with amazing stories.
So here we are, Stephanie. It's my very first podcast. Season one, episode one. This is like the pilot. And I've known you now for almost a month.
I love it.
When we came out to volunteer with my daughter, because you have an amazing organization called One Heart for Women and Children. And my kid's trainer said, hey, you want to go out and you want to help feed the homeless and everything? We're like, yeah, the kids need community service hours. So sure, we'll go out and do it on a Sunday. Well, that just come on out and help the kids get their hours turned into a whole lot more when you stood up on a counter and kind of explained who you were and why you do what you do. So that sentence that you just said will immediately stop anyone in their tracks, especially a parent, when you say that you had to put your kids in the dumpster to find your next meal. So take us back. I mean, you were a branch manager. You were in the corporate world, and next thing you know, you find yourself on the streets. How do we get from that big leap from A to B?
Domestic violence and drug addiction. The domestic violence in the home was really getting, it was getting worse. And by then, I had already started.
From a spouse?
From a spouse, gotcha. Yes. I was married with two children.
Right.
And he drank a lot, and the domestic violence started. It was almost a year and a half that the domestic violence was happening, and I started drinking.
How far into the relationship? Was it right off the bat? Or,
no, it was almost a year into it.
So everything was great, and then
boom,
made a turn.
Yeah, absolutely. What I didn't know is that that was part of his history with previous women. I thought that I was in love. Had two children, and really on the outside, my life looked absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you're going to work every day, probably driving a nice car, got a nice home, you're a bank manager, you got two kids at home, a loving spouse, and
yeah.
So were you, I know that you battled with drug addiction and everything. Mm-hmm. Was that going on then?
Yeah. And I wasn't full in addiction at that time.
Right.
You know, after the beatings or whatever, you know, whatever it was that particular day, I would use or drink
that
so that I didn't.
That was your prescription
to absolutely,
make it feel
better. That's it. I didn't want to feel. I wanted to be a good mom. I wanted to do good at my job. I wanted to be a good wife. I wanted to be good at everything I did. And what I found is that inside, I was a hollow shell. And I was just in motion.
So were you telling yourself at that time that, I mean, I can stop at any time. It's just a drink or it's a little bit of drugs here. You didn't think that there was any sort of problem?
No, I didn't think that there was a problem. Although I had been in treatment before,
right.
But I didn't think that I was like everybody else. So it was 5 years prior to that. I was in treatment and I was pregnant with my first child. And I left because there was a lot of things that I had not done that a lot of the other people around me that were living with me had done. And I said, I'm not like you guys.
You said, I got this.
I got this. And
this
I left.
Control.
Yep. And I left and I stayed abstinent for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And then we got married. I had Amber before we got married.
Right.
But we got married and it was about a year into it. The domestic violence started. And what I want to say is that part of that, like I started to retaliate as well.
Right.
So he wasn't the only one doing it. I would retaliate.
You fight back.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or I would leave for the night and I would always go back though.
Right.
And it was the 10th time that I had left.
Wow.
Was my final straw. I was done. I left. I didn't go to my family, didn't go to friends, didn't go to anybody that I worked
Why?
With because I didn't want to put them in harm. I did not
Because you
want-
feared he would come
retaliate.
Looking for you there.
Absolutely.
And they were hiding you. And
absolutely. Because we had done that before.
Right.
And it never worked out. And I was also at this point, I was using drugs a lot more.
What were you using?
Crack cocaine.
And how old were your girls at this time?
5 months old and 5 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you said my best option right now is just
to be homeless.
On the streets.
Yep. I knew he wouldn't find us.
Right.
I knew of the area, but I had never, like, that was not one of my hangout areas.
Right.
When I first started using drugs, I was using drugs with some pretty powerful people in our community.
Oh, wow.
And so I started, everything was pretty, when I say elaborate, it was
you
glamorized.
You weren't on the streets under a bridge.
Absolutely.
Doing drugs.
Nope, not at all.
You were at parties.
I was partying and yeah. I was partying with some pretty big name people.
So you never went back to the bank?
Never went back to the bank. Absolutely not.
So you were trying to feed two kids.
Trying to feed two kids.
Feed yourself and supply an addiction.
Correct.
So how were you getting money?
I was prostituting, and I was stealing from people. I was doing things that I'm just totally, you know, I was ashamed of for a long time.
Right.
Things that I've healed from now, you know, I can't go back and change my story.
Sure.
And I really don't wish to, because if I didn't have the story
Absolutely.
And we all have a story.
Yeah, everybody has a story.
That's
why we're doing this, is, you know, what's your story? So how long were you on the streets?
5 weeks. And I started doing some bartering also. So my first week and a half, there was a lot of, you know, prostitution and,
right.
and other survival mode mechanisms, you know. And really, that's what happens when you end up in a desperate place, that survival mode, especially if you're a mom, kicks in. And most people end up doing things that they normally, under a thinking clearly.
Clear and sober mind, you would never do.
Absolutely. So there was a woman that lived in the community down in Paramore, and she said, come help me clean my house, and I'll make sure that you have dinner tonight. And I did. So I started helping her to clean other people's houses as well. So it became this this barter system, per se. And so I started planting gardens, and now I was still drinking. And I was still under the influence,
right.
but there were people in the community that were trying to pull me out of that. But they were really trying to show me other avenues on how I could.
You have options.
Absolutely.
Because your girl's obviously, I mean, the one's too old, but your daughter's, she's not going to school.
No, she's 5 years old. Yep.
You're sleeping under a bridge. You're sleeping, where are you sleeping?
So we are sleeping, it's 50 feet from under the 408 overpass on Paramore. So we were not under the bridge,
right.
although we were around the corner from the bridge.
Is that, as you'd use the air quotes?
Yes.
Is that a stigmatism? Is that under the bridge? Is that something that's viewed by other people that are on the streets as a bad thing? Or is that like the rock bottom? Like, what is the
yes.
under the bridge?
So under the bridge really is the hardcore rock bottom when I was homeless. Now when I sort of use the quotations or mm-hmm. the more of, we do a lot of what we do with sharing love, food, and resources under the bridge now, because when you go underneath that, it's an overpass, but
right.
we call it a bridge. And if you're ever out there, you will see that there's benches on all corners. So there's like the Southwest bench,
right.
which is the guys that come and they're not homeless, but they come out and they play cards together. And then you've got one of the other corners. So you've got the Southeast corner, which is more of the mental illness. You've got, you know, they pretty much stay as a group in all four corners.
Wow.
So
I never realized what, because I went there with you and went under the bridge.
Yeah.
That was my first experience and went. And now that you say that, it's makes sense, because it's exactly as you described. I didn't put them in a certain category of people.
Right.
But yeah.
So a lot of them out there are helping to take care of each other as well.
Right.
So like when we drive up with food, which we're there a couple times a week, if you imagine whatever the reason you ended up homeless, right? No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why.
Right.
Right. For us, for One Heart for Women and Children, and for me personally, it doesn't matter why somebody got homeless. If somebody's new out there and they don't, you know, they're not used to being homeless and they don't want to be homeless, our job is to help them to find where it is that they're looking to go.
What's next?
Yeah, what's next and where did you come from?
Right.
Right? So this isn't your home. You know, how did you end up here? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So hearing that short story from how they got there, and then it's, how can we help? Can we help with a bus pass? Can we help? You know, and some people, they got a job here in Orlando and it didn't work out and they didn't know where else to go, and that's where they migrated.
Right.
One of the things that we're doing is helping some of the men, women, children, families, you know, that end up in that area or that make their way to One Heart, but
right.
we really focus on that area.
Right.
And part of it is, that's where my rock bottom was, but that's where the beginning of my life also, all in that same day.
So what was rock bottom? What was, because I know you talked about your girls putting them in a dumpster to try and figure out, mom, I'm hungry. And your daughter wasn't healthy at the time either, was she?
No, my youngest was 5 months old on a heart monitor. So she was born 3 pounds, 1 ounce, and dropped to 2.5 pounds. And the doctors didn't think she was going to live. And that was due to my drug addiction and the domestic violence.
Meanwhile, you're homeless on the streets with a baby on a stroller and a heart monitor.
Absolutely. So all that happened when I was still, like when I gave birth to her, I was still
right.
in the marriage and still in the home.
Gotcha.
She was in a car seat with a heart attached to a heart monitor. And I was lugging her in places she didn't belong. And then I've got a 5-year-old that's, you know, really alone some of the time because I was, you know, doing what I was doing.
Right.
Or she was right there, you know, when I was
doing
prostituting
or
doing what I was doing.
Or she's taking care of her 5-month-old.
Right.
Sister. So what was that moment that that light went off or you said, this has got to end? What was the change or who was the person? What brought you to where you are today?
Because it wasn't me. Like, no. It was not me. I did not know how to get out of that hole. DCF, the state, was already involved, and they had been looking for me because they wanted to remove my children.
Sure. And understandably.
Absolutely understandably. Right. Somebody in the community called DCF, called an emergency line, mm-hmm. and they had watched me tote my kids around for too long. I was under the bridge mm-hmm. with my kids, middle of the afternoon on January 7th, 1999. There was a cab, and a woman got out of the cab, and she came over to get the kids. And I was screaming at her, and she introduced herself, you know, and said who she was.
Right.
And she said, I'm here to help you, and I'm here to help your kids. And so my kids got in the cab. Actually, they picked my kids up and took my kids, put them in the cab, and drove off. And I was under the bridge on my knees saying, you know, God, if you're real, I need you now. And I felt a hand on my shoulder, and it was a woman that had been out there. She wasn't homeless, but she lived in that community. Mm-hmm. And she would ask if she could pray for us, or she'd put her hand up and she'd pray really, really, really loud. And I would walk away. I'm like, you know, God might like love you, but God sure doesn't love me for the places that I've been and the things that I've done and, you know, where my children are. And it was her. So here, my kids had been removed. I was praying. I was sobbing. I felt like there was a blanket, a warm blanket that had just been laid over me. And when I say came to, when I realized what in the hell was really happening, she had her hand on my shoulder. And she said, honey, you don't have to live this way anymore.
And that was it. That was the one sentence you needed to hear.
Absolutely. Because from there, one of the other women that lived there in the community made a phone call. And she made a phone call to my mom. And yeah, so it was really cool.
You just tell by the expression of my face. Called mom and said,
your daughter's here.
Oh, wow.
Your daughter's
here. And what'd your mom say?
And that was before cell phones. So when you think about all of that, like that's before cell phones. I went with her and my mother came over and my mother picked me up and she's like, what are we going to do from here? And so I called my social worker and said, I'm ready to do whatever it takes. So I went into treatment and I was there 7.5 months. My kids were in foster care. They were in the best, most amazing foster home ever. And I want a big shout out for any person, any family that's out fostering and loving on these children while their parents are trying to make a difference in their lives.
So you get clean and sober, 7.5 months. You get your kids back.
Get my kids back. And you talk about a celebration.
Oh, I'm sure.
My daughter and I, my oldest daughter is 26 now, and she's getting married in 19 days.
Wow.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. To the most amazing, amazing, loving man ever.
My Does addiction she remember? Started.
She remembers a lot.
She does.
She remembers taking a gun out of my hand that was actually in my mouth.
Oh, my gosh, Stephanie.
She remembers jumping off of a roof with me, putting her arms around my neck and jumping off a roof. I will say my kids had some amazing throughout their years. Like both of them have had a lot of love that's been wrapped around them from a community for any situation that has come up, you know, where they might have needed some healing.
Well, and look how hard mama fought.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now you've started this organization. It's called One Heart for Women and Children. And here you go out and you help feed the homeless and you have a thrift shop where they can come in and shop and buy things. What made you all of a sudden say, I've been out there? Because you very easily could have just gone back to the bank and tucked your tail and said, you know what? Give me a job.
So at 18 months clean and sober, I had already started volunteering in some places. Mm-hmm. And
what, just to give back?
To give back. It was really important to me because there were so many people that I didn't even know that just helped me to get to where I was at that point. I was 18 months clean and sober, went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and did a big celebration. And the next day I went into the emergency room and I found out that I had cancer. So choriocarcinoma, which was from a tubular pregnancy.
Right.
So I had my first cancer a year. My Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous group really just rallied around me, took care of me. I had to give my kids to somebody else. So I had just gotten my kids back a few months before
and
that.
And now here we go again.
So I was 10 years clean and sober when I started One Heart. And it was, I had some students over a weekend. It was called Unique Weekend. And my daughters were in this youth group. And we were just talking about our stories, talking right. about our journeys. And one of the boys said, I think that you need to start a nonprofit organization. And I think that we need to make the logo. All right.
How do you say no to that?
God just said something big to you.
Yeah, right.
And in just a few hours, we made the logo, started One Heart without a business model, without a penny in my pocket. I don't suggest anybody else to do it that way. But I knew that I wanted to help other women not to have to put their kids in dumpsters for food. I knew that I didn't want any other kids on my watch to have to get into a dumpster
wow.
for food for their family.
And you're pretty darn successful at doing it. Just having going out one time with you, seeing the kids coming up and feeding these people and clothing them and giving them dry socks. And I mean, it touched me. It left a mark on my 14-year-old little girl. It says a lot what you're doing for men, women, and children right here in this
yeah.
community. What's your website, though? So if people do want to check it out and see.
www.oneheartforwomenandchildren.org.
Stephanie, what an amazing story. I have to ask real quick, the lady that put her hand on your shoulder, what's her first name?
Eileen.
Where is she?
She's not alive anymore.
She's not with us anymore.
Mm-mm.
Does she know your story and your turnaround?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to share that when we started One Heart, mm-hmm. it was the first time that I saw her. And we were driving peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, socks, and Gatorade bottles around. And I jumped out of the truck. My husband was driving. And I said, there she is. And I ran over and I started to hug her. And she's like, do I know you? And I looked her in the eyes and said, Eileen, it's Stephanie. And that's all I had to do. That's all I said. And we were looking at each other in the eyes. Now, keep in mind, I had red hair, less than 100 pounds soaking wet,
right.
you know, back then. And I don't quite look that way anymore. And but it was that eye to eye contact.
She knew.
And she hugged me. And as she was hugging me, she said, I knew you had a different life. And this woman, like, I ran from her so many times when she was trying to pray for
her,
me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get out of my way.
I didn't want her to be shouting out those prayers.
Right.
But because of her love and because of her compassion and because of her belief in people and because of what she just doing what she knows to do, because of her, I knew that day that everything was going to be okay.
20 years later, here you are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. You're my very first guest on my podcast.
You.
So it's called What's Your Story? It's amazing people doing amazing things. And Stephanie, you definitely take the cake with it right here in Central Florida. It's called One Heart for Women and Children. But again, it's One Heart, FOR, for womenandchildren.org. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.